We're going to be, I didn't mention, I'll be in Psalm 1, and I call this a New Year's resolution. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all attempt to make at least one resolution this coming year? Raise your hand. Be honest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, let me ask you a more pertinent question. How many of you are going to keep it? Hopefully, there you go. I like the faith. Well, I did really good back in 2019. 2020 was a wash, right? But 2019, I resolved that I would read the Bible through in 365 days, and I was doing jam up until about around August. And I don't know what took place. Vacation, went to North Carolina, but just other things that seemed like gets in your way. And before I knew it, I was already in September. And so that little resolution went down the drain fast. It didn't stop me from attempting to do it, but it kind of just aggravates me that, you know, I didn't complete it. I have done it, but it's not an easy task. You have to commit yourself to that. But tonight, I think this study, let's resolve to study Psalm 1 and apply Psalm 1 to our lives, that because I think it's a resolution or the gateway to all the other Psalms, the other 149 Psalms that's in our Bible today. I think Psalm 1 was placed there by great minds, but by the inspired Spirit of God, and it is the gateway or the resolution for the rest of the Psalms. So, let's get into it. And I believe if we follow the instructions that I think I've outlined tonight, and I think they're good instructions, they come out of the Bible, but I think if we apply these, we will eliminate a lot of the frustration that goes in to these the embarkment on a new year. We praise God for all the years that He's given us, but 2020 wasn't that great. But going forward, I think God willing, the creek don't rise and the church don't rise, then it won't be as bad as 2020. 21 will hopefully be a better year. I like what one of my Facebook friends posted. They probably got it from somebody else because you never know where the source of this stuff is. But I thought it was quite cute. It says, I am not going to purchase a new day planner until I see a movie trailer of 21. That would be nice if we could have that, right? That foresight to see what's coming. Then, yeah. And one other person said the stupidest thing they ever did was buy a 2020 planner. That went out. So, now to the serious stuff. I want everybody here to promise me that you will eat all the black-eyed peas you can eat on New Year's Day. No, seriously, that's not the heavy stuff. That's not the serious stuff. Here it is. There's two major thoughts that's in Psalm 1. There's six short verses, and I think we should be finished about around 7:20, hopefully, right? Is that okay, Dan? I saw you checking my phone. Okay. No, just hopefully we'll be out on time. Yeah, go right ahead. Y'all get up and leave anytime you want to. There's two major thoughts. There's blessings in verses 1 through 3 and in perishing in verses 4 through 6. Come on in, Karina. We're in Psalm 1, dear. Psalm 1. So, do what? Perishing. Blessings is 1 through 3 and perishing is 4 through 6. And you know, God takes great delight in bestowing blessings upon His children. He's not up there and saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to give them nothing." No, He takes delight in doing that, but He also takes delight in an obedient servant. In other words, to be blessed, I think you need to be blessable. Is that a word? I think it might be. You need to be blessable, and what that means, you need to have a right standing, a right relationship with God. You're in that right standing, right relationship with Him, then you will be blessed. You can be blessed. Well, now how is one to have a right standing, right relationship that opens up the windows of heaven? for the blessings to flow. Well, let's read. I think it's in our Bible. Let's see. Start with notice in verse 1. Blessed, and the Greek word is ensure, which means happy. Blessed or happy is a man or a woman who walks, listen to it, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The Holy Spirit inspired this psalmist to write this, and he gives us the practice of a blessed man. And so he does this by stating in the opposite, not what a man to do, but what the man ought not to do. And so he put it in the negative, but it is something that a godly person, a blessed man, a happy man, would do, he would practice. And first of all, notice there's three postures that the psalmist picks up and gives us that a blessed man must avoid. And he does so using godly discernment. He does so through the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. But notice the first posture. It's the posture of walking. Now, this carries the idea of association with the ungodly. It's kind of like it's mere considering sin. In other words, you take a little stroll down the road and you kind of veer off the beaten path and you get on the dark side. And sometimes it takes a while to get back on the right path. But you're walking through. You're not just hanging around. You're getting in there and out. So it's just mere considering sin. Notice the second posture, though. It's standing. And it's a little bit, well, it's past considering. It's more in the concept of contemplating. In other words, you find the dark path very interesting. And you find it's comfortable. And you find, well, it's not so bad, as everyone said. And everyone else is doing it, right? Have you heard that? Everybody else is doing it. Well, that's the standing in the path of sinners. Notice the last posture, and that is sitting. Now, this is, first one is considering sin. The second one is contemplating sin. This is comfortable in sin. This is where you've just kind of sat back and taken up residence with the scornful, with the ungodly, with sin. Now, you heard the old cliche, watch your step, the first one's a doozy. Anybody hear that? Or is that just me? Yeah. It's an old one. But notice posture one. Well, number one, it seems innocent. It's just drifting down the road, and you finally get on a little bit offside. But notice it's like going down getting on a downward escalator. You ever go to the big mall where they've got three or four of them, and you're walking around, and you see the stairway, and you go over and get right in front of it and start to step up, but it's coming down. And so you get on the down one, and you can't go back. You just ride it all the way down until the path, and you get back on the other one. And that's kind of the way that taking that first step. It's a doozy, so watch out for that first. You got to ride it all the way to the finish. Notice there is a definitely regression. And this leads to a deterioration. And once you deteriorated, you result in degeneration. You can see it's a downward spiral. Now, if you want to be blessed by God, then you stay off of that pathway. You stay off of the taking advice from the ungodly and walking and standing in the path of sinners and sitting with the scornfuls. Now, we don't want to read too much into this or try to read in it where we don't post to hang out with the ungodly at all. That's not what the psalmist is teaching. It's not what the Word of God teaches. Jesus instructs us to go out and seek the lost, doesn't he? Yeah. So you have to go out and mingle a little bit, but you just don't dwell and live with them, and you don't do what they do. So by not walking in the counsel of the ungodly means you do not take advice from them because they're not on the same wavelength you are. They're on a different level whatsoever, and they you take your advice, hopefully from God, right? From His Word and from the Holy Spirit who guides you and leads you. Do not take advice from the ungodly, and they will freely offer it. Believe me, they will freely offer it, especially in the work field. Yeah, exactly. The ungodly has no concern or thoughts of God. That's the furthest thing from their mind. And so they don't get up in the morning and like you and thank God for the breath of life. They don't ask God for provision during the day. They have no thoughts whatsoever. And that's why you don't want to take counsel. Now, look what happens when you take counsel from these lost people. You'll find yourself standing and then chumming and then living with them. So, for the most part, these people think of themselves pretty good people. And Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Yeah. So everybody thinks you're okay, right? Everybody thinks we're all right. So the godly person understands just quite the opposite. We understand that we are nothing but filthy rags apart from Christ, right? Other than that, without Him, we're just filth. So it's His righteousness, which was imputed upon us, that makes us have that right standing with God, that we can be called righteous, we can be called blessed. Yeah. Once you've walked with a counsel of the ungodly and stand in the way of sinners, you become very comfortable to sit with the seat of the scornful. Now, I'm sure and that you might agree with me that we have heard and seen a lot from the scornful this past year, have you? They are everywhere, and they are boisterous, and they're getting their way, sadly to say. They're getting their way. These are the atheists of the world. He is the one that denies the existence of God. And they exhibit a hatred for any one of you that has anything to do with God. When we try to take a stand, it's just pure hatred. And they'll do anything they can to belittle us. And so these are the ones who took the prayer out of the school. These are the ones who tried to get the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. Most of them have taken them down. And now it's getting hard for the Gideons to get in some schools. Fortunately, our school system is still good, but it's harder and harder for them to get Bibles into school. And it's these people, the scornful ones, is the one that's causing that. So you can see that happy is the man in verse 1, the blessed man who uses discernment and uses the godly wisdom not to run with a pack. So, praise God, the psalmist doesn't leave it there. He gives us a little bit of instructions on now what to do. Always not what to do, but now what to do. Look at verse 2. Look what it says, but. You remember that? When God butts in, don't you love it? Yeah, we need God butting in more and more, don't we? But it says, but his, and that's talking about the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, the man meditates day and night. I know Brother Kelly's talked a lot about meditation, a lot about meditating on the Word. But notice that the blessings involves delight. It's a great joy. Jeremiah 15:16 says this. He says it this way. He's talking about God now. And your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's the way Jeremiah felt about the Word of God. Not only is the Word of God a delight, it is the light. For Psalms 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a what? Light unto my path. Not enough light to see down there, right? God gives us just enough light to where we see where our feet are planting and the path right in front of us. Too many people are worried about the future, worry about today, because they might not be one of those. And he will, if you meditate on his word and then take delight in it, they'll promise he'll give you the light that gets you through this world. So it's keeping his commandments that keeps us on the right path. That's how you stay on the right path. Too many people, I think, have the misguided mindset that, well, if I just turn over a new leaf or just clean up my act, I will be okay. And so I'm kind of reminded of the story of Jesus. You'll probably remember this story about a man who was possessed with a demon. And the demon tormented him terrible. But the demon decided to leave on his own. And so he went off in the wilderness, probably looking for greener pastures, and stayed for a while. And the man cleaned up his act. Boy, he got cleaned up. Got him all self straightened up. He was all right. Well, this evil demon kind of got homesick. And the Bible tells us that he came back, went into the man, and found the man clean. And what did he do? He went back out and got seven more demons. And they come back and possess the man, and he was far worse than he was before. Now, a long story, but it denotes that just turning over a new leaf just won't cut it. Just won't cut it. You must have the Spirit of God inside to protect the home. Perhaps I think this might be why so many believers live a defeated life. They think they saved, but they're always defeated. There's no joy. There's no in-depth Bible reading, attendance once in a while. There's just no joy. Perhaps the rooms have been cleaned, but there's no furniture. Yeah. Now, chase that rabbit. Simply say, if you do not find any joy in reading God's word, then check and see what's inside. We need the Holy Spirit. The psalmist says, blessed is a man who meditates day and night on God's word. Meditation is to the inner person what digesting is to the body. God designed your body, my body, that it needs a good digestive system. And when that's out of order, you're out of order, right? Yeah, all of y'all experience that. And so we find that meditation is the one that takes care of the inner person. A healthy dose of God's word, a healthy dose of God's word is designed to maintain your inner self. So, first we saw the practice of a blessed man. One, in verse one, the nots, he does not do this. And verse two, he does this. And now let's look at verse three and we'll see the provision of the blessed man. Look what the Bible says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, when I speak of provision, I mean your spiritual roots. Your tap root goes deep into the resources of God's grace. Deep into the word, deep into the God's resources, and you will bear fruit. What? You will bear fruit. Do what, dear?
What does it mean by whatever he does, or whatever he does? Oh, never mind. I couldn't read that correctly. Never mind.
Well, whatever he does shall prosper. Not, it doesn't mean prosperity. It doesn't mean like the prosperity preachers are talking about getting rich. It just means spiritually, you're going to blossom. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. So, your taproot on a tree is very essential. And if you dig up a tree and you break the taproot, what happens? It dies. So make sure you're deeply rooted in God's word. Notice now, this is not just an ordinary tree. This is not the tree that sprouts up on its own like a black locust tree. I've got one of these. I've saw a bunch of trees on the side of the road, and I dug it up and brought it home. Beautiful trees, got white blooms all over it. And so I looked it up through the plant identification and found out there was a black locust. And now I've got 10 or 15 black locusts around. So be careful what you plant. But no, this is not a tree like this. Notice this tree is planted by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're converted. Upon your conversion, he plants you right then. Not only are you planted by God, notice this, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Notice now you have a position in God, in his forest. You are positioned by the rivers of water. Now, some liken the rivers of water as being everlasting life, and I don't think this is what it's talking about, but it sounds good. Jesus refers to the waters that give you life, everlasting life. He did that over in John 4 to the woman at the well. Y'all remember that story quite well. And that, he says, I'll give you drink that you'll never thirst again. He's talking about everlasting life. That, we know that. But here, it is plural, rivers, and I think it means the Word of God. Kelly preached Sunday on Isaiah. Y'all remember that, 55? Well, there's two verses that I've used quite often in my own studies, but when he read over it, it just clicked. But here's what Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says. The rain which falls from heavens and brings forth the buds on the tree and the seeds to the sower and the bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth out from my mouth and shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish all that which I please, and it shall prosper, there's that word again, in the thing whereto I sent it. Yeah, so the rivers of water, I think, is God's word, and that's how you stay deeply rooted, because you're always in the Word of God. When you soak up the Word of God, you'll produce fruit. I know sometimes we say, well, producing fruit is Christians, other Christians. No, I think it's the fruit of the Spirit is what we're talking about here. And every one of you ought to be able to produce that, right? Amen. Yeah, you ought to. Quite good. Galatians 5:22, I think. So, let's do when you do so, you'll not grow weary, but you'll do good. And you'll dwell and grow in his goodness and his mercy. Now, quick recap. There's five P's that's in this pod. Verse 1 is the blessed man does not participate with evil. There's your first P. Verse 2, the blessed man practices that which is good. The third P, the blessed man in verse 3, the blessed man is positioned by God and fed by the Word of God. And then the blessed man produces good fruit, and the man prospers all that he does. The five peas in the pod. Let's look at the second half. That's the first half that deals with blessings. I'm doing okay? Yeah. I've only got 10 more pages. All right, we're all right. So, let's look at the perishing. Verses 4 through 6. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and read these right now. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's where I get the perishing. It's really sad that there's so many in this world perishing when God has rescued or will rescue the perishing. And we have a song for that, don't we? Yeah. He has thrown out the life raft, Jesus Christ, to the whole world. All they have to do is believe and trust him. John 3:16. Rescue the perishing, but they're just falling left and right, dying and going to eternal hell. And so we need to make sure that we tell as many people. Put up the detour sign in front of them. Notice the psalmist begins by stating that the ungodly are not blessed, but rather they will have or reap divine judgment. Look at the contrast, though. Look back at just this contrast of verse 3 and verse 4. On one hand, you have the tree that's planted by the rivers, getting its resources. And then on the other, you have the chaff. It's the husk of the wheat. The tree is firmly planted in and rooted in God's love and in God's grace, while the chaff is rooted in nothing and blown away by the wind. Kind of sounds a little bit like the parable of sores, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know if y'all, probably all most of y'all old school, you probably know what winnowing, I can't even say that word, winnowing the wheat. Just picture in the olden days, especially in back in the Old Testament days, they would get kind of on the break of a hill, and they would dig out a large pit, and they'd probably have some borders around it, but they'd have a large pit, and they'd bring all the heads of the, where they thrashed the wheat and they cut off the heads, they'd bring that into that deep pit, and these guys got big old fan-like scoops, and they'd scoop down in that pit and throw it way up in the sky, and the seed would fall back down to the ground, and the wind would blow through this like tunnel and just blow the chaff away. Well, that is winnowing, whatever it is. Well, one is full of substance, and the husk is nothing but a shell. It has nothing. So, likewise, the Christian is full of the Holy Spirit, while the ungodly have nothing but emptiness. It's a big difference. Now, what happens to the two? Verse 3, one prospers. According to verse 5, the ungodly is doomed. Big difference. Now, don't misread verse 5. If you kind of look at it, they're not going to be judged. No, that's not what it means. It means that they have nothing to stand on when they're in front of the judge. Unlike you and I, if we truly believe and are saved, we stand not on our merits, but on whose? Yeah, Jesus Christ. We stand on His righteousness. And so we can stand before a holy God and a righteous God, because when He sees us, He sees Jesus, His Son. We will be judged, but we'll be able to stand. But these ungodly people, these people that I talked about, the atheists, the scoffers, the scorners, they're not having nothing to stand on, nothing to save them. They can't say, I was good, I've been good, I pay my taxes, I don't kick the cat and all of that jumbo. No, nothing to stand on, nothing to stand on. Well, notice verse 6, it gives us, we who believe and are blessed, it gives us assurance and hope that our hope is not lost and that we're on the right path. I love this analogy, and I'm just about to wrap it up, but I love this analogy of, the Bible talks about a lot about paths. Matthew 7:13-14 talks about where one life leads to life and the other path leads to death. Y'all remember that? The narrow and straight and the wide, yes. So Matthew talks about that, but I like this analogy. And, you know, it's just analogy, but it's I think it holds some merit. The death road is like a large end of a funnel. So just imagine, here's a big, large funnel, and you're looking at the big end, and it goes down to the small end. Typically what you use a funnel for, to drain stuff down. Well, the death road is like Going down the large road, the wide road that's easy. But as life dwindles and you're getting on up in age and closer to the rooster crowing, then that tube gets narrower and narrower and narrower until there's no light. Smaller and smaller. But now look at the other light. Look at the other path. It's like taking and entering the funnel from the small side because it's narrow and it's restrictive, so we think. When Jesus says we need to go down that narrow road with not many traveling, yeah, we think, man, boy, that's tough. I got to give up some stuff. Well, it's okay to give it up. It's restrictive. But once we start and start out restricted, and as we grow in the Lord, as we get into the Word of God and we start and digest the Word of God, and our life gets fuller and fuller, and we are, before we know it, we're experiencing that abundant life that Jesus promised. And then towards the end, we are open into the eternal life that He promises. It's a good little analogy. Might not be biblical, but it's still a good analogy, I think. So my question is to you tonight. I hope and pray you're on the right path, and I think you are. You're the cream of the crop. You wouldn't be here tonight if you hadn't. Are you blessed? Are you happy? Yes. Happy. I'm happy to have eternal life. I'm happy to be here with brothers and sisters. I'm happy to know that when I read God's Word, it enriches me, it speaks to me. We need to make very sure that those around us have the same opportunity that you and I have. So as often as you can, tell someone about Jesus. That's as simple as it is. A New Year's resolution, apply Psalm 1 to your life. Stay out of that crowd. Witness to him, but don't fall into their trap. Don't take advice. Don't get comfortable. Stay on your toes and stay in the Word. That's all I have. If you got any questions, feel free to email the pastor and he'll be glad to answer them later on. Now, seriously, if you got something, I try my best to answer it, but not that I might be able to. Was you able to hear me back there? Okay, good. All right, y'all ready to go home? All right, I say that. I said, holler out, hallelujah, man. Yes, let's go. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much for Psalms. They are beautiful, and Lord, they are wisdom. And I thank you for that. And just as we apply it, then I know we will be happy. I'm happy, and I know these people are too. So we'll be really happy when we see your face, face to face. What a glorious day that will be. But until then, Lord, until you call us home, we'll do our best to tell others about your wonderful grace and your beautiful face. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.